Hey, well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
The title I've given this message is Embrace the Sadness, Embrace the Joy. Now, the point is that we're going to be celebrating or commemorating, a better word, the Tisha B'Av, but I want to talk with you a little bit about what the holy day of Tisha B'Av is all about. It commemorates, first and foremost, the destruction of the two temples in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple by the Babylonians, and then, of course, the temple at the time of Yeshua by Herod. But beyond that, in God's providence, it's rather amazing that on Tisha B'Av, on the ninth day of the Hebrew month of Av, a number of tough things, really difficult things have happened. For example, the first crusade officially commenced on August 15th, 1096, Tisha B'Av. You know, 10,000 Jews were estimated as having been killed during that terrible event. The Jews were expelled from England on July 18th of 1290, again, the 9th of Av. The Jews were expelled from France on July 22nd of the year 1306 on the 9th of Av. The Jews were expelled from Spain on July 31st, 1942, and we all know that terrible story. On August 2nd, 1941, on the 9th of Av, the SS commander Heinrich Himmler formally received approval from the Nazis to execute what was known as the Final Solution, the destruction of European Jewry. Then again, on July 23rd of 1942, began the mass deportation of Jews from the Warsaw Ghetto to the concentration camp Treblinka. And then more recently, we have the bombing of the Jewish Community Center in Buenos Aires, and that occurred on July 1994, and 85 of our people were killed and 300 were wounded. So we see that Tisha B'Av has really been a very, very tough time. But I want to talk with you about embracing the sadness of Tisha B'Av. And I'd like to frame it by sharing a passage from the scripture, which I actually read to our board at our Wednesday evening board meeting. And this comes from the book of Kohelet. Kohelet is another name for Ecclesiastes. It's very famous, and undoubtedly you'll recognize some of the words. It says this: there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The point is that we're encouraged to understand the totality of the picture and to embrace what God has brought providentially among us as a people and individually as well. To embrace the sadness, but also to embrace the joy. Now, I want to talk about Yeshua and Tisha B'Av. And what you're going to notice, gang, over the next few weeks, and as we lead up to Tisha B'Av through the month of July, all of the Besorah readings will be about the trial and execution of Yeshua. And the reason for that is that the creators of this order of reading that we use, Chaye Yeshua, the person who was primarily responsible for the order was Dr. Mark Kinzer. What he was seeking to do is demonstrate through the order of readings the correspondence between the experience of our people Israel through history, at Tisha B'Av in particular, and how that correlates with Yeshua's personal experience, because as we understand, he is the one man Israel. He captures in himself the totality of our history as he profoundly identifies with us in our saddest moments, but again, in our joy. And so this cycle comes together. The crucifixion of the Messiah, the Word, the one through whom God made the entire world, is perhaps the saddest moment of our history, but it is followed by the joy. And I'll read just one brief verse from the book of Messianic Jews or Hebrews that Rabbi Nathan has been teaching on many Shabbats. And it goes this way. It's from the 12th chapter in the second verse. It says this: "For the joy set before him, he," that is Yeshua, "endured the execution stake, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And so the idea is he embraced the sorrow. He embraced the sadness. He embraced the pathos of his own undeserved death, thinking all the while about how everything will ultimately culminate in the joy that he would experience as all creation recognizes him as the one through whom God would bring about the resolution of all things, the ending of all pain. Now, obviously, this has not occurred completely as yet. We get that, but it is surely, surely coming. Messiah embraced the sadness and he embraced the joy. And by his sacrificial act, he was proven worthy to end the world's miseries. Bad government will go, only good, righteous, kindness, righteousness, kindness, compassion, all the stuff that we yearn for. So the point this morning is simply this for all of us: embrace the sad moments of our tradition. You won't need to have to stay there because joy follows. You'll become a more complete person by choosing to enter into both the sadness and the joy, and not to run away from the sadness. Now, let me say that we Jews don't overemphasize sadness as a spiritual value in our tradition. It's not something that we like to sit in. In fact, we're reminded of the old joke, because sometimes jokes reveal so much about the heart and mind of a people. When Moshe dies, he goes to the pearly gates. He encounters God and says, "God, we're the chosen people, right?" And a voice comes and says, "Yes, you are." "Well, God, next time, do you mind choosing somebody else for a while?" And we smile at the joke. But the joke reveals the ethos of the Jewish people. We don't over-identify with suffering as if suffering had all this great intrinsic value. But on the other hand, we're reminded that without embracing the suffering of our history, we can stay pretty superficial people, individually and as a group. And we become dulled even to the blessings which surround us. So we think of spring in New England, and I've sensed among many of you as we've talked the joy of experiencing the beautiful sunshine, the trees filled with leaves, and the gorgeous, gorgeous vegetation. And we feel so terrific in New England when spring comes. Why? Because we've had to endure February, okay? But in California, spring comes, big deal, doesn't mean much, because it's always nice there. You see, the sadness, in a way, is a prerequisite, becoming able to embrace the fullness of what God has for us individually and corporately, to be thankful at a level that we might not be without the tough moments that we experience. So this season, embrace the sadness and keep in mind the words of the psalm that we read on the morning, during the morning prayers, okay? And in the middle of Psalm 30, it says these wonderful words. I love these words. Yalin beki belaboker rina. In the night, weeping, but in the morning, a shout of joy. So embrace the sadness, embrace the joy. Shabbat shalom, everyone.